I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I don't know about you, but is there ever a time during this time of year that you wish that you had some SOS signal for help to arrive, right? Think about the season. I mean, maybe there's a moment when you're at Partridge Creek. Where's Michael? And you're shopping. And you are like, these lines are crazy, these people are crazy, and could SOS, a signal of distress and all the stress that's coming. Maybe you wish, as you look into your closet and you are anticipating your Christmas party, and you're like, oh no, I got to squeeze into this ugly sweater, that's going to be ugly. SOS, I need some help. Or maybe the stress of just gathering together the family or pulling it all together or cooking or you name it. I think this time so often churns in us stress. So how do we give an SOS? One of the things I want for you and for me during this time of year is not to SOS the Christmas story. The first Advent, when Jesus came as a baby, when our Lord came down to us. And so often in our culture, I think one of the reasons that we feel so much stress in the depths of our hearts during this time of year is because we have SOS'd the Christmas story. SOS. We've sanitized the Christmas story. We try and keep it all neat and organized, the Christmas story. And we spiritualize the Christmas story. So often in our culture, we try and SOS this story. We sanitize it, right? We don't want it to be messy. We want it to all seem very neat. But listen, Jesus came into a messy, messed up world. I mean, there was fear and uncertainty and anxiety wrapped around all of what was going on when God came down. And I think so often we want to so sanitize it that we take away all the mess. But that's not what Jesus entered into. So often with the Christmas story, not only do we want to sanitize it, but we want to organize it. But when Jesus came, the very Son of God, God in the flesh, His life and ministry completely turned everything upside down. Who would have ever thought that this precious baby whom the heavens opened and declared, "Your Savior has come," no one anticipated that this baby would be on a cross giving His life for the sins of the world, yours and mine. We wanted it to be so nice and neat and organized. But Jesus came to give His life. And no one would have seen that. But it's true. And then so often we want to spiritualize the Christmas story. You see, it's far too easy to spiritualize Christmas, to make it into a seasonal flash in the pan of cozy and good feelings. We want to get that warm glow, feel like you did something good for others, and then go back to life as you know it. But the birth of Jesus was not a spiritual moment. It was the farthest thing from a spiritual moment. Jesus was called, and we sang it over and over and over again today, he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, born in a stable on earth with humans and animals and straw and dirt. This is not a spiritual moment. This is the moment where God was with us in the most fully intimate human way. In Jesus' birth, we are brought the delivering presence and ongoing incarnation of God with us. You see, the story of Jesus' birth is not one of saving of our souls. The story of Jesus is one of saving all of us, body and soul, announcing a Savior who would bring about a new heaven and a new earth. But oh, are we so tempted to SOS that first coming? And what's true for the first coming of Jesus in the birth of Christ is also true in the second coming of Jesus. When we confess, I believe, on the last day, when Jesus comes again, the return of Christ, so often in our culture, in our world, we SOS this reality. First, we, along with the first coming of Christ, SOS the second coming of Christ. You see, all of us, every one of us gathered here today has hope for the future. There is something that we are hoping about tomorrow or down in the future. There is something in us that wants things to be better in our lives, to have a fullness of hope and joy. And that comes in fully realizing what it means to confess, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. So let's have the same warning, the same call. Do not SOS the second coming of Jesus. Let's not sanitize this reality, the resurrection of the body. See, one of the things that's underneath this bold confession, I believe that our bodies will be raised from the dead, is to acknowledge the reason that they have to be raised in the first place. That sin is real, life is hard, and death is an enemy. And all of you that have been through that recognize how messy grief can be. See, one of the ways that the Bible will help us understand this reality so that we can't sanitize it, the Christian faith looks all of those things in the eye for what they are, sin and death, and that life on this earth is hard. The way that we get honest about what is happening is we see both sin and death as separation. That we live in dirt and ashes. That our lives are corruptible. But when we stand shoulder to shoulder and we say, listen, here's what I believe. Here is my hope. I believe in the resurrection of the body. It is the hope of restoration. That everything tainted, broken, corrupted, hard, what death has brought in its debilitating grief will one day be healed and undone. If you want to look closer at that hope in the context of God's Word, write in your little notes Romans chapter 8. Well, it will not let us sanitize the reality of our lives, but it brings to us the hope that it will one day completely and totally be healed. Here's a quote from Pastor Berg, who wrote about this confession, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." At our temporal death, right, when we die, we are freed from sin. This is where God does His great work of separating our nature from original sin, that deep corruption which infects all our powers and faculties. This is why the resurrection is not only a very comforting teaching for Christians, but it also reminds us that we are not as God originally created us. Death is not a sloughing off of the flesh. This body is not an old coat which can be tossed after use. God created us, body and soul. And the Son redeemed both body and soul with His blood. The Spirit sanctified both body and soul by the gospel, and on the last day, our bodies and souls will be reunited to live immortal, imperishable lives in bliss forever. What an incredible hope that all that is broken and messy and messed up is healed, restored, rejuvenated, new, body and soul. That's our hope. So don't sanitize the second coming of Jesus. And let's not try to keep all of this orderly either. And here's what I mean by this. When it comes to dealing with the hope that is ours in the midst of death and pain and heartache and suffering, that one day it will all end. Here's what our culture wants to do. We want to compartmentalize the reality of sin and death, especially death. We want to tuck it away. We want to avoid dealing with it. And so we just feel like if we could just set it aside and not even consider it or grieve over it, but just somehow tuck it somewhere where I don't even have to deal with it, not as Christians. Because the last day is the last word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have these words: "Do not grieve like people who have no hope." Dear Christian, you don't have to compartmentalize death and push it aside and ignore it and try and work every way around it. But we grieve and look it in the eye because we have hope. That on the last day, the trumpet will sound and you and all the dead will be raised up to meet our Savior and Lord for all eternity. This is our hope. So don't sanitize it. Don't try and organize and compartmentalize it and shove it away. Please let us not spiritualize the second coming of Jesus either. And what happens when we encounter sin and death and the ravages that it brings in life? You see, Christ is not just saving our souls. He is saving all of us, body and soul. If I were to ask you, what do you think most about when you think about what happens when we die? I think if we're honest, listen, myself included, most of us only think about heaven, right? That when we die, our bodies go in the ground or into the dirt or they're into ashes. And we think about heaven. But when we confess, I believe on the last day there will be a resurrection of the body and life everlasting, what we are saying is that, listen, heaven, where our bodies and souls are separated, that's just an interim reality. But so often that's all we can imagine. And so often when we just imagine our souls kind of at rest or at peace, we come up with all kinds of ways where it gets out of whack. And so we say things like, because of this disconnect with the new heavens and the new earth and the resurrection and the last day, when we connect that from our hope, we'll say things like, oh, our loved ones, or they're now angels. Right? Listen, angels are spirit beings. They will never have bodies. They never have. But that's not you and me. We're human beings. And God is going to redeem in all of its fullness and glory and beauty what that means to be fully human. In all of its rightness. Dr. Kolb would say this about how we tend to over-spiritualize and disconnect the hope of the bodily resurrection from the hope of heaven. He says it like this. Our liberation from sin and evil involves the resurrection of the flesh. Luther said that he preferred resurrection of the body and life everlasting. God will give us heavenly life as the culmination of the restoration of our humanity. People cannot live without hope, he says. People have difficulty living without ultimate hope. Hope is an intrinsic element in our sense of identity, security, and meaning for our life. That's why Paul talked about the resurrection of the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the church talked about the resurrection of the body to combat a spiritualizing which would deny the original goodness of God's material creation and would reject our humanity and go on hoping for salvation through divinization. You know, figures, these doctors, you know, they got to use big words. But he goes on to say this: we must oppose the idea that religion and the truly good and God are above the material and beyond the earthly. We must insist that God saw creation and said it was good, and that our humanity is all that we should ever want. That is what the Holy Spirit gives us through His forgiving and restoring word, the gift of our humanity, returned after we have thrown it away. That God bestows upon us the peace of Eden, which is now ours forever. And that's not only the way it is, he says, dimly perceived by us, yet in this world of sin, as we remain still righteous and sinful at the same time. That's the way it will be forever. And then the way we conclude it all is we just simply say, Amen. Amen. When we stand shoulder to shoulder, when the Christian church, when our community, when we stand and say, this is what I believe, we end it with a bold proclamation, the word Amen. It comes from a Hebrew word, which means it is reliable and true. In the New Testament, it would be surely. This is truth. Our faith and what we believe and stand upon and hold at the core of our being is built upon the promises of the God of truth. And that in Him, the promises of God are yes and amen. That God created you He made you. That God redeems you. All that is broken and sold out is bought back of incredible value and worth by His blood. He sanctifies you. He sets your life apart as His very own. Gathers us together in a community. And whatever we feel, anytime we are ready to throw up that distress, we have a sure and certain hope that we believe that on the last day, it will all be made right. The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.